The NFL schedule has another leak, and the Rams get an early Christmas present. What exactly does it mean?
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Rams your first listen every single day. My name is Travis Rogers. Hope you are having a fantastic time figuring out which games are going to go where on the NFL schedule. That should be out here in a couple of days. Make sure you're taking your time to click the subscribe button on Locked On Rams, so when that schedule comes out, you're going to be one of the first to know. We can tell you exactly when and where and what it all means. That's coming up in a little bit, but not if you're not subscribed, right? You might forget, so make sure that you do it right now. Check us out on Locked On Rams on YouTube as well. My name is Travis Rogers. You can follow me on Twitter. I also host the Rams pregame and postgame show on their flagship station, ESPN LA 710, right here in Los Angeles. So, like I mentioned, we're going to find out exactly what the NFL schedule is in its totality here on Thursday. The schedule will be released in its complete, all of them, not just the Rams, but everybody will have all of their games at that point. But, you know, we found out who the international games are going to be, who's going to play in Mexico, who's going to play in Germany, who are the three games that are going to take place in the UK. And now we have another piece of the puzzle, and this one does involve the Rams, and the Rams get another plum assignment. The Rams get to play on Christmas Day. Sunday this year is Christmas Day, so the NFL is going to play some games. They're going to have three games. They're not going to have a full slate of games the way that they sometimes might be able to do, but three games. The Rams will play the Denver Broncos on Christmas Day at SoFi Stadium, so we're going to get another look at Russell Wilson. We're not quite done with him yet, so another game against Russell Wilson and the Broncos on Christmas. Now, for people that cover game, it's funny. On my radio show, there's this, oh, man, you got to go work on Christmas, right? And I'm thinking, well, man, I get to go work on Christmas, right? It sounds good to me. I love going to the Rams games. It's always a good day. And I really love going to Rams games when they are one of one, right? A Thursday night game is incredibly fun. A Monday night game is incredibly fun. Never mind a playoff game. That goes without saying. Sunday night games are probably the best of them all. So this is going to be Christmas night against the Broncos. No other NFL games being played at that time. Another opportunity to kind of put your brand out to the world, put your brand out to your fans, and put your brand out. And I really can't overstate how important I believe this to be. Put your brand out to the other players in the league, because the Rams are very, very close if they haven't gotten there anyway. And I think that they're 90% of the way there. They're very close to being the team that when you can go anywhere you want, you're going to check the Rams out. And that's the goal, right? This is something that the Lakers have been very good at. This is something that the Dodgers have been very good at over the years, that when you become a free agent, or maybe you're towards the end of your career, maybe you're not looking to break the bank, but you're looking to maximize opportunity. You're looking to maximize lifestyle. You're looking to maximize what might be coming after your playing days are over. Los Angeles and the Rams have become one of those teams. And how do you continue to put that brand out there? The number one thing, the very most important thing, obviously, is winning. The Rams have checked that box. They're defending Super Bowl champions. They've won the division three times in the last 5 years. They've been to the Super Bowl two times in the last 5 years. So it would be impossible not to know that they're one of the most successful franchise teams. So that's number one, because everything that comes after that is irrelevant if you're going, you know, 4-13 every year. It doesn't matter. You can play in the best stadium. You can be in the most beautiful city in the world, best weather, the climate, the opportunities. It doesn't matter. If the team sucks. Nobody cares. They're not coming. The Rams don't. So they've got that box checked. Now the next things are, do you want to play in a place that spares no expense? Well, that's the Rams, right? Everything they do is first class. And now the other part is, do I want to be on TV in front of everybody? Do I want to have an opportunity to play standalone games, right? Monday night, Thursday night, Sunday night football. And yes, the holidays, whether it's Thanksgiving, whether it's Christmas, these are games, the opening game of the season. The Rams are going to have, we're going to find out on Thursday exactly how many, but think about it. You've got opening day. As the defending champ, you're going to be on that game. So that's a standalone game that you have right there on a Thursday night. You're going to have Christmas Day. So there's at least two. The Rams will get at least two Sunday night games. The Rams will probably get at least two Monday night games. That's six games right there. And who knows with flexing and everything else. And I know that there are some rules involved of how many times you can be on those standalone games. But this is how you put your brand out there to the rest of the people. You get to see the celebrities in the stands. You get to see SoFi Stadium. You get to see that everybody else is watching those games. And if I have a choice between going to a team like, I don't know. Let's pick another. San Francisco 49ers are a very good example. They're really good, right? And they've been good over the last few years. They've been to the Super Bowl. They've been close. They have a great, rich tradition of winning some games. But they don't have all of those little extra bells and whistles, or at least maybe it's just perception, but it certainly doesn't feel like it, to where if you have a chance to put something big on TV, who do you want? The Cowboys. Like, say what you want. Maybe the Cowboys will be the opening game for the Rams. I think it's basically down to the Cowboys and Buffalo Bills. Those are the two that make the most sense. But the Cowboys get plum assignments over and over and over again. The Green Bay Packers, because of the tradition, because of Aaron Rodgers, because just their NFL royalty. The Pittsburgh Steelers get opportunities like this over and over again. The New England Patriots have been a team like that over the last 20 years. You want big numbers? Put the Patriots on TV. People are going to watch Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. That, it goes without saying. The Rams have entered the discussion. The Rams are, even if you are somebody that is a Minnesota Vikings fan or a Tampa Bay fan, New Orleans, Carolina, whatever it might be, Seattle, you want to see the Rams. They're exciting. They're fun. They play in a cool building. They play in a cool place. They got good teams, and they are box office. And that, and that's not my opinion. That is the NFL's opinion, because they can put whoever they want on Christmas Day, and they chose the Rams. And they chose a marquee quarterback in Russell Wilson, who's on a new team. They could have put him against somebody else. They could have found another way to put somebody on. Nope, give us the Rams. Again, after the playoffs, and after the Super Bowl, and after Monday nights, and after Sunday nights, and after the opening game, give us the Rams again. I think it is a great, if you're doing trends, if you're buying stocks, this stock continues to go up and up and up. You got to keep winning. Everybody knows that, but these are the ways you keep winning. Other than just making good decisions, drafting good players, trading for good players, having a good coach, be on TV all the time alone. You're not flipping. How do you watch football? Sunday night ticket or Sunday ticket, right? You flip, you only hear Anderson Siciliano call all the games, and you're watching touchdowns, you're watching points, maybe you watch a drive here or there. But when it comes to Sunday night, when it comes to Monday night, Thursday night, there is no flipping. That's it. You got to watch that team. Rams are on one of those games. Good job by them. Good job by the NFL for giving the people what they want as well. Speaking of TV, we're going to talk a little bit about Tom Brady's new deal coming up in just a little bit. Maybe Sean McVay should have been a little more aggressive in his negotiations with Amazon. That's coming up next. But now, before we talk about our partners at Bet Online, they continue to be the number one source for all of your betting needs and sports information. You can find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs. We'll get to that in just one second. Major League Baseball scores and more. I told you to get on the Angels early. Hopefully you listen to me, because those odds are going, you're getting less value there. They're off to a great start as well. Fights and even next season's NFL futures. How about this too? You can even go check out and see what's going on in the NBA as far as who the Laker coach might be next. You can get some odds there. Some of the top five, you're seeing Terry Stotts. You're seeing guys like Mark Jackson, some other names in there as well. But this is all of your stuff, your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. That is Bet Online. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. Bet Online, where the game starts. And thank you yet again for making Locked On Rams your first listen every single day. Don't forget to click that subscribe button. You can also go to Locked On Rams on YouTube and get us right there as well. So just subscribe to both. Do one, do the other. That way you got it covered both ways. Okay, so let's get to Tom Brady's new deal. Remember when we were talking about Sean McVay kind of at least entertaining the idea of maybe deciding that he didn't want to coach anymore, or at least didn't want to coach for the time being, and maybe I'll go do TV. And there was a report that Amazon was going to offer him $100 million over the course of 10 years, 10 million bucks a year to go talk about football once a week. Okay. Now, that never really resonated in my mind, because Sean McVay, A, is going to get money similar to that to coach the team, and B, he needs the juice, man. This is somebody that needs to feed the competitive fire that makes him who he is, right? Calling Cowboys Steelers on a Thursday night is not going to give him the competitive outlet that he needs, where he's coaching the Rams against the 49ers on a Thursday night. So that at $10 million a year, it was kind of one of those things. Yeah, it's interesting. And maybe at some point he'll go make a bunch of money doing TV, because I don't think there's any question he'd be very good at it, but not quite yet. The numbers, let's just say, have changed a great deal. Tom Brady has signed a 10-year, $375 million contract to go become a NFL commentator for Fox Sports when he's done playing. Maybe it's at the end of this year. Maybe it's a couple years. Who knows? But like, Tom Brady's 44 years old. He's going to be done sooner than later, I think, but it's going to happen. And he's going to go pick up $37 million a year on average to go do that. $375 million over 10 years. Look, this is, it's a weird deal. We've entered the point where some of these guys are coaches, players, active players. Tom Brady signed this as an active player. Greg Olsen, who is going to be, well, at least until Tom Brady gets there, the number one color commentator on the Fox broadcast, was an active Fox broadcaster while he was still playing. Sean McVay was at least having conversations reportedly with Amazon while he was the coach of the Los Angeles Rams. 37 million. He's going to make more than almost every player. Maybe with the exception of a handful of quarterbacks, he's going to make more money than those guys, looking and telling us what he's seeing. Well, you know, I like how they, you know, this guy came out to the flat. He had a high, low go, and he decided that the ball was better off short. And $37 million to call games. Somebody is, and that somebody, Sean McVay, is going to get an offer that is going to be so incredibly lucrative while they're in the middle of their coaching career, perhaps even in their playing career, that somebody's going to say, wait a second, I know what makes me is the competition. I know that I want to be a football coach, but can I say no to $37 million a year? And I can hear, right? Tom Brady's one of one. He won 7 Super Bowls. He's been to 10 of them, et cetera, et cetera. And you're right. You're 100% right. But $30 million? 25? 20? At $10 million a year for Sean McVay over 10 years, my response is, yeah, no, they're going to, it's a fortune. All of us would run to go pick up $10 million to do just about anything anywhere. No question, right? Sean McVay is going to make $8, $9, $10, $12 million coaching football. So it's not 20. Well, it's keep going. 25. Okay. Now you have my full attention. It's going to happen. These numbers very rarely go back, and maybe somebody's not going to jump right back up to 37, but you can say, look, I'm not Tom Brady, but I'm half as good as he is at calling these games. There's no guarantees Tom Brady's even going to be good at it. It's wild. It's really, really wild that this thing has escalated as quickly as it has. And football in particular, and football is the biggest league. It's the thing that we talk about the most. And I'm not just talking about us here at Locked On. I'm not just talking about I'm talking about American sports fans. NFL is King Kong. The rights fees, a guy that's going to talk about the games is going to make nearly $40 million a year to do it. That's player money. Mookie Betts plays for the Dodgers. He's the best player in the Dodgers. He doesn't make $40 million a year. It's bananas. And this is where we are headed. It may come back a little bit, or it may stay there for a minute, and the next guy might not quite get there, but everybody else is going to get there eventually. These numbers don't – Troy Aikman is probably thinking to himself, wait, I just signed with ESPN, and I'm getting a half of what he gets? I've been doing this a long time. I've proven that I'm good at this. The numbers are out of control. The NFL is everywhere. It's the one thing that we all love to talk about all the time. The draft, the combine, the schedule release is a big deal. All of this, it's remarkable. Just absolutely remarkable on how it works out. So congratulations to him. I mean, my first reaction was, really? He wants to go do this? Well, $37.5 million, what wouldn't you do? Well, he's got $300 million. He's going to make more in 10 years of calling these games than he did in 23 playing. Yeah, I'll do that. Absolutely. Happy to do that. Crazy. Good for him. Good for the league. Good for us that love football, that Tom Brady's going to kind of tell us about it. I'm really curious. Hit me up in the comments in the YouTube section whether or not you think Tom Brady will be good at this. I'm completely split down the middle. Tom Brady obviously knows football. Duh. Tom Brady is glib to a point. But what makes those guys that are really good at it, really good at it? A willingness to be critical. A willingness to point out when mistakes are made, an ability to point out something that you yourself didn't see or don't understand quite the way that you should, and they can explain it quickly, concisely, and clearly. Tom, maybe, but maybe not. I think people thought Jason Witten was going to be good at it. I think people thought Drew Brees was going to be good at it. People definitely thought Joe Montana was going to be good at it, and they're dreadful. Dreadful. So I don't know. $37.5 million to be dreadful at something? Give me a shot. I'm ready. Fox, I'll do it for less. Just let me know. Congratulations to him, and make sure that he's pretty good. I don't need somebody circling back for Sean McVay after he wins another Super Bowl along the way. And I'm going to give you yet another reason that you should be very, very happy that Sean McVay is here, because our old pal Jeff Fisher, well, he Jeff Fishered again. That's coming up next. So time or money, which would you rather save? Time is good because it allows you to go do other things. Money's good because you got more money to go do whatever you want. But how about this? How about saving time and money when you use Rock Auto? For instance, 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same part from a chain store or car dealership when you could get it for that much less at Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family-owned business. It is a do-it-yourselfer's paradise. They've been doing it forever, and they've been doing it for 20 years. For example, Honda Odyssey fuel pump, $353 from a chain store, $216 from Rock Auto. What could you do with $140? Play golf a bunch of times, go out to a bunch of dinners. Sounds pretty good to me. Rock Auto is the best place for reliably low prices for every customer, and they're going to have what you need too, whether it's brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet for your car. They got you covered at Rock Auto. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck and write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box? So they know that we sent you over there. That's good for you. That's good for us. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. So I don't think there's any question that I have made it very clear that I am in the bag for Sean McVay, right? That maybe it's a little bit of what's the football fan equivalent of PTSD? I don't want to make light of anybody that's suffering from something like that. But when you see not just substandard performance, but incompetency, it makes you really appreciate when you get somebody that's not just decent, but maybe a little bit better than decent. God forbid somebody is downright transcendent at what they do. And I believe that Sean McVay is that, because I had to deal with a season where Jeff Fisher was the head coach of the LA Rams. And you might be saying, Trav, come on, I couldn't have been that bad. Maybe you're new to the Ramley, right? Maybe you're new to kind of getting on board with this team that it took a little while to warm up to them. And when they first came back, you're like, I don't know, man. Maybe we'll see what it is. And you sampled the Jeff Fisher year, so maybe a game. You're like, nah, it's not for me. And it took a while to come back, and it didn't really stick the way that it stuck with me. Let me refresh your memory. Jeff Fisher is now a coach in the USFL. And by all accounts, Jeff Fisher's a pretty nice guy. I know a handful of people that interacted with him when he was with the Rams, and people seem to really like him. And I think that's why he was able to stay around for as long as he was, is because he's a very likable, very nice man who just kind of went very, very stale in the NFL towards the second half of his career. He is a coach in the USFL now. And you just tell me if this sounds like somebody who should have been in charge of an NFL team, or a USFL team, or a college football team, or a high school team, or a Pop Warner team, or a flag football team, or anything else. He is the head coach of the Michigan Panthers. And the Michigan Panthers had the ball on their opponent's, the Philadelphia Stars, on their opponent's 3-yard line. First and goal from the 3-yard line with about 30 seconds left in the game. They're down by 1 point. Field goal wins the game. They have 2 timeouts remaining, but here's the wrinkle. Their field goal kicker is terrible, and not just not very good. He's terrible, okay? He had not made a field goal the entire season. You're thinking, okay, well, maybe they tried a bunch of long ones. Wrong. He had not made an extra point the entire season, okay? Terrible. Not just not very good. Terrible. He had finally, earlier in that game, made his first field goal of the season. So he had one kick that was successfully executed all season long, okay? They haven't played 1 or 2 games. It's been longer than that. It's been 4. So first and goal from the 3-yard line, about 30 seconds to go, and you have 2 timeouts in your pocket. I want you to ask yourself, you have a field goal kicker over here. Now field goal will win you the game, but you have a field goal kicker who stinks. Not isn't, he's kind of hit and miss. Stinks. Can't do it. Has only made one all season long. One kick. Field goals, extra points, 1. You have 2 timeouts. You have 25 seconds. What would you do? I'm asking. I'm genuinely asking. What would you do at that point? You go for it, right? It's first down. And if you don't make it, call timeout. No worries. It's not a play in football that lasts 23 seconds. It's probably not a play in football that lasts 10 seconds that doesn't take 90 yards to execute. What do you do? You go for it. Okay, let's say an incomplete pass. Okay, you don't even need a timeout at that point, but let's say you'd want to. Call timeout, regroup, say, okay, what are we going to do here? Second down and goal from the three. What would you do then? Your field goal kicker stinks, let me remind you. You go for it again. You still got a timeout in your back pocket, right? And if that doesn't work, then maybe say, okay, look, not me. Let's bring the kicker out here, cross our fingers, and hope that it goes. You want to know what Jeff Fisher did? He let the clock run down to just a couple of seconds, trotted his field goal kicker out there to win him the game, never ran a play, never gave his offense a chance to win the game, to go up by more than a point or two. He went for it. He decided to kick. Take a wild guess at what happened. No good. The guy that had missed a field goal every single time he had attempted one all season long, the guy that had attempted a kick, a point after touchdown, a PAT, every single time all season long and missed all of them until he had one go through earlier that day, missed. And they lost. And Philadelphia wins the game because Jeff Fisher didn't realize, you know what? My kicker really sucks. Maybe, and I'm reading this story. I'm not going to lie and pretend that I was watching USFL football. I have seen it. It's okay. Do you remember the game with the Rams? Or I should say with the Rams against the Lions during Jeff Fisher's year? First and goal from the one right before the end of the first half. I don't know, maybe 35, 40 seconds. Maybe it's a little bit longer than that. Let's go for it on first. Okay, sure. Try to get a touchdown before the end of the half. Makes perfect sense. Give it to Todd Gurley. Makes perfect sense. Stuffed. Second and goal from the three. Ooh, we lost. We backed up a little bit. Let's go for it again. Okay. Sure. Give it to Todd Gurley. Stuffed. Third down from the same spot. Stuffed again. Same play again. Same play three times in a row. Three times the ball did not go anywhere other than backwards or nowhere. What does Jeff Fisher do on fourth down? He goes for it. What is it? Well, he runs a different play though, for sure, right? Nah, we'll run it to Todd Gurley again. So anybody that had been part of the Jeff Fisher experience the first time through LA, maybe not that surprised to see it happen. And the purpose of this is not to say Jeff Fisher is a bum, which, you know, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. Not a very good coach, and certainly wasn't for the Rams in the last year that they were here in Los Angeles. The point of it is, appreciate Sean McVay is going to make some weird calls. Sean McVay is going to get stubborn. Sean McVay is going to try to make things happen his way occasionally. He ain't going to do that. And it's as stupid as it sounds, basic levels of competency are very hard to find. You're thinking, Trav, Jeff Fisher was a coach for over 20 years in the NFL. Yeah, he was. And when Steve McNair wasn't just being a transcendent talent, the teams were bad. And he just kept going and going and going. Nice guy, good guy, friendly, likable, great. He decided to let a guy that had never kicked. By the way, I didn't even mention one of the better parts. This guy was the punter. He was a punter in college, didn't really kick much, but they say, we'll just have him do both because it's USFL. Nobody really cares. I get it. It's USFL. There's eight people watching these games. Don't you want to win? Don't you want somebody that's going to make a basically competent decision? Hey, we got 25 seconds left, two timeouts. We're on the 3-yard line. So our kicker couldn't kick a rock down the street. Why don't we at least take a couple shots at the end zone and see what we can do? Jeff Fisher says, let's just let the clock run down and kick it. Amen, Sean McVay. Please never leave. And if you do, please find somebody that you think is the appropriate guy to fill your shoes. Because if we have to deal with another Jeff Fisher scenario, I don't know if I'm going to make it. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Rams. Thanks for making us your first listen every single day. Now for your second listen, make sure that you're checking out Locked On NFL. The schedule may be dark, but the NFL never stops, and neither does Locked On NFL. Get insights and opinions from all of the hosts, including Ross Jackson, Chris Carter, and Tony Wiggins, plus local Locked On NFL hosts repping all 32 squads. There's no offseason for real fans, so make sure that you're subscribed to Locked On NFL on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Till next time, whose house? It's Locked On Rams' house.